At every celebration of our life, and especially at the Holy Mass, we are always focused on Jesus. And during this time of Christmas, we focus on him in some special and unique ways. And today, we focus on him as part of the human family, the Holy Family. Now, we've often spoke about vocations to the priesthood, diaconate, to religious life, to the single life. Simply put, vocation is God's plan for our life, what he calls us to be. Thomas Merton, the great spiritual writer, in his book, No Man is an Island, wrote this about vocations. He said, "Discovering vocation does not mean scrambling towards some prize that is beyond our reach, but accepting the treasure of true self that we already possess. Vocation does not come from a voice out there calling us to be something that we are not. It comes from a voice in here calling us to be the person we were born to be, to fulfill the original selfhood given us by God before we were born." Read Psalm 139. For each of us, there is only one thing necessary to fulfill our own destiny according to God's will, to be what God wants us to be. Now that sounds all wonderful and spiritual, maybe if you're going to be a priest or a deacon or a religious, but what does that mean for the people of God, for us as laity? How does our particular vocation fit into the mission of Christ? Well, one of the most important ways that that can happen is through the vocation of family and family life. God entered human history at Christmas. He didn't come down in a rain of fire. He was born as a little baby, as one of us. He humbled himself to share in our humanity. He entrusted his only begotten son to be born to a married couple who loved one another, to become part of a human family, to enter into family life. And that wasn't by accident. God doesn't do things randomly or irrelevantly. Marriage and family life are part of his divine plan for us, part of our salvation. By sending Jesus to a married couple to be a family, he made marriage and family life holy and sacred. That's why the church always has and always will defend marriage and family life. But sadly, what God created as family life is under attack by the world, and particularly by Satan. Every year we celebrate this feast in honor of the Holy Family. We celebrate them as a family, as a model of what a family can be. Not to try to define what is normal, but because they were indeed holy, because they followed God's will, their vocation. In fact, to be holy means to be set apart, to be different. And they certainly were different. They were a most unusual family. They were anything but normal. Joseph and Mary were a married couple, but Jesus was not conceived through Joseph. And they would have anything but what would be considered a normal physical relationship between a husband and a wife who were married in intimate love. In a similar way, we heard in our first reading, and we met Hannah, the mother of Samuel. After Samuel was born and weaned just a little baby, she gave him to the priests in the temple to spend the rest of his life there. Hardly what we would call a normal family life. To be honest, I don't think there really is such a thing as normal family life. I've never met one. Mine certainly is not. Very far from it. Each family is special and unique, but we encounter families all the time who are trying to live out their vocation, trying to live a holy life, as God designed it to be. Husband and wife, male and female, a couple married, living in love, sacrificing each other, being open to life. And if we believe in God and his Son, then we must be open and honest about accepting the fact that we don't always understand God's plan, but we must trust that what he designed is meant to be followed, to be trusted in faith. And my dear ones, that's where holiness begins. It begins with trust. Not always being successful, but with every little humble effort that we try to live out our vocation, to try to live as Jesus had commanded us to do. Every simple attempt that we make, even though, admittedly, it may be wrought with failures. Because God doesn't generally tell us what he's going to do, he just does it. And then he lets us try to figure it out for him ourselves. The essence of faith is trusting, in fact, that God understands what he's doing, but we may not always understand. In fact, it's saying to God in a prayer that, Lord, the only satisfaction I receive, the only joy in my life, is the realization that I'm trying to do what you want, even when I don't understand. And quite frankly, I don't want it, because I'm going to do it simply because I love you and I trust you. That's what happened to Mary when the angel Gabriel came to her. He came and told her she was going to conceive a son, the Son of God, out of wedlock. And Mary admitted she didn't understand, but she said yes anyways, because she trusted in faith. When Joseph found out about the pregnancy, he was certainly hurt and confused. He could have had her judged and stoned to death, but this was the woman he loved. And so when the angel came to him, he didn't totally understand, but he trusted in faith. Again, in today's gospel, Jesus, 12-year-old boy, certainly could have been more polite to his mother and father, maybe more considerate. He could have told them where he was going for 3 days before he set off. But his answer was clear in his mind. He was trying to do the will of his heavenly Father. And so even when a person is striving to do God's will, we see an example of holiness that can lead to misunderstanding and confusion and conflicts. Now, it's easy for us to forget sometimes that the Holy Family is still just a family. After all, Mary was conceived without any sin and lived her whole life sinless. Jesus was, of course, God, and Joseph was a saint. So they have that going for them. But they still were indeed a family, a human family. And that doesn't change the reality that family life often faces confusion, even the most holy family. Fear, anger, anxiety, uncertainty, frustration, misunderstandings, trouble communicating sometimes. They didn't always understand what God's plan was. Today, there are all kinds of times that people are trying to redefine what a family is, and very little of it is clear sailing. We know that all too well. Families are places of tension, selfishness, and generosity, constant things that work against each other, obstacles and pressures that work against our values sometimes. Nonetheless, it's in the family that we are given the strength to be able to overcome some of those frustrations and anxieties and conflicts. Now, as Christians, we don't need to totally get into the debate about what is normal for a family. We can only offer some simple advice and ask this question: what did God create as a family, and what is his will? Now, each of us may come up with slightly different answers, and that happens at times when we're trying to do the will of God. But when everyone is trying to do God's will, we must also develop a respect for one another, a supernatural respect, because we are part indeed of two families, our biological families, and as we heard in the letter from St. John, that we are his adopted sons and daughters. We are part of a supernatural family, part of a holy family. And so that supernatural respect that comes about understanding that we have people among us that are trying to live a holy life, trying to do God's will, single moms and dads, loving wives, dedicated fathers, tradesmen, soldiers, police officers, firefighters, priests, even garbage men, ordinary people that are all called by God to holiness, all trying to do his will, all called to be saints. When God decides and wills that something is going to happen, it happens. But we're not God. So even when we set our minds to do good things, it doesn't always work out the way we have it planned. I could try with all my might, but there's no guarantee that things are going to work out the way I want them to. I might try to raise my children healthy and happy with a faith in God, only to find out that they make disastrous decisions, that they waste their talents, and that they live without an actual faith in anything. We might try to sincerely love our spouses in faithful love and to sacrifice things for them, only to watch our marriages fall apart. We might try to heal broken relationships in our family, among our friends, only to have it be dismissed out of hand. Our love can be rejected, our compassion ignored, our integrity questioned and abused. In all these things, we may try and fail. But we must never give up and never stop trying. We are creatures with a limited ability to do good, and we're destined for heaven. It's only God who's successful 100% of the time. And that is a very important truth in our faith life, because without it, we could fall into despair, or worse, anger. We will have failures and we will have frustrations. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. We live in a society that's materialistic, consumeristic, individualistic. A culture is a culture of the temporary, a throwaway culture in many respects. Products are even made with planned obsolescence so that they wear out in a short period of time. We even look at life as temporary. We pass laws that give us the ability to help each other kill one another when it's inconvenient, or when the suffering is too much, or when the quality of life isn't good enough. In this kind of culture, more and more people, especially our young people, are giving up on marriage and family life as a commitment. They don't view life as a gift, but rather sometimes as something that fits into a career or their economic plans. And it creates a huge change in the manners and morals of our community. And it's praised as giving us freedom to do what we want. But is it? I think instead that it brings about a spiritual and material devastation to many parts of our family, particularly women and children and the elderly. In his recent speech, Pope Francis said this about married life. He said, "I urge you to lift up yet another truth about marriage, that permanent commitment to solidarity, fidelity, and fruitful love responds to the deepest longings of the human heart. Let us bear in mind especially the young people who represent our future. It is important that they do not give themselves over to the poisonous mentality of the temporary, but rather be revolutionaries with the courage to seek true and lasting love, going against the common pattern of society." In God's plan, when a man and woman promise to accept children lovingly from God and to bring them up according to the laws of Christ and his church, and to vow to be faithful to one another, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, to love and to cherish until death. Just like the Holy Family, Mary and Joseph, they may not totally understand what they're getting themselves into, but they must try to live out that promise in faith, because anything less won't work. Is this hard? Is this challenging for us? Of course it is. But we're not alone. Especially we're reminded at Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us, he's with our families, and he gives us the strength to live our Catholic Christian faith with courage, to go against the norm, to stand up for family life, what God created as holy. And that challenge gives us great hope and the promise of our future for us and our families. May God bless.